allows us not to be, basically suffocated away from any development because we're having to come to the citizens and have them bond a $15 million parking garage. You know, but as we generate revenue with things, I don't know, like parking, then we can start to afford, you know, those capital improvements of which we have no revenue for.
Very interesting comments yesterday by Mayor D.C. Reeves at his press conference talking about this proposed development at Community Maritime Park, and particularly making the point that if you are generating revenue, whether from this deal or he also seemed to hint at the revenue from maybe parking downtown, changing the way that's being done, as we well know and talked about, all of these things contribute revenue streams that might allow the city to offset the development costs of building something like a parking garage or whatever else we need to do. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you. So let's talk about this. It's a big idea, what a parking garage and a residence and maybe a hotel. And there's a height issue involved in needing to, you know, sort of exceed the norms, but offsetting that with affordable housing. What are we looking at Community Maritime Park? And don't get my hopes up for something that's not going to happen.
Hey, I know. I think we all feel that after what it's been 12, 14 years of threats of things to happen. To be honest, that's why I think we've spent so much time in this administration going through this lease. I feel very in so much better place of the lease that will come to this council in August than we were when we started, just because we're trying to eliminate, uncertainty, we're trying to eliminate uncertainty. And look, development is always uncertain, right? I mean, who thought interest rates would be where they are now, right? I mean, there is no such thing as a sure thing on a project of this scale. But what we could say is there's things you can do within the agreement, within the negotiation that, for example, if the flag of whatever hotel they proposed the first time doesn't pan out, you still have to keep the level of quality, a certain star rating of hotel. Like, that's an example of something we put in. You can't just go from a 4-star hotel to a 2-star hotel and say that's the same project, as an example. So we've done everything we can do there and vetted out everything we can. But remember, I mean, way back when, the promise of this and the promise of the bonded money, the investment, was that there would be a return on this investment. And as I told our council, we spent my 20s and 30s on this earth trying to figure out what we want to do here. I'd like in my 40s to see something happen, you know, and I think we have put ourselves in a good place. I'm confident of where we are. There will always be variables. There's other things that we have to work through, but this is it gives us an opportunity to try to solve one snippet of the housing crisis. I know everyone gets on social media and thinks that we're going to solve all of the housing crisis with one project. That's not what we're saying, but we're able to get some housing. We're able to get some hotel rooms downtown that we need. And we're able to get some taxable income, get some property tax that can help us fund future projects.
You know, and I think it's funny because the you've explained this so many times, but I don't know why people, maybe some people, it's just deliberate density. I don't know. All inventory helps the housing problem. Even if the residences that are provided are not affordable by whatever standard you want to use, the fact that there are going to be more places to live alleviates the pressure that has created the problem that we're in. And so it frees up lower value ones because there's just more inventory, makes more inventory, period, right?
Right. And it's a very natural reaction that when a project doesn't pertain to your income level, whether that be market rate, whether that be homeless transitional, whether that be 60%, 80%, 120%, everybody is in a different place. And so that's what I always say is we all agree in the city of Pensacola that we have a housing crisis. That's where the agreement ends. Because then it's all our own perspective, right? Like what's our family situation? What is affordable housing to me? And so it's an understandable reaction. But I think when people see the Motor Lodge, when they see this, that is what, when I say we have to attack it at scale, that's what I mean. There is no one single project, single piece of property, or single tower that is going to solve our affordable housing issues. We've got Baptist Hospital, another example. I mean, we are really attempting to attack this on all fronts.
Yeah, there's absolutely, it's not a fair comparison because it's usually used as a criticism, but it's a mud against the wall and whatever sticks is going to help. But that's true. If you throw enough, eventually the volume alone, because a little bit of the right thing will not do much. An awful lot of some right, some maybe not, that will help in the long run. One thing I wanted to ask you about, I just don't understand the height criticism. I just don't get it because let's say you put a 10 or 12 stories or something like that. Let's say it's in that vicinity. Who is that impeding? I mean, there's nobody living at Old Stinky. Not yet. And is it the people who, I don't even understand what thing that's going to bother people, in the area that's going to get in their way. Who is this going to bother? It feels more like people would just rather have nothing because nothing will satisfy.
I think it would be fair to say that a lot of the criticism around height is the traditionalist mindset. You're going to block our view. Now, there's a couple things to understand. The southernmost point of Maritime Park will remain in the public realm forever. So, access around, up and around. So to be able to be on the other side of whatever happens on Maritime Park is possible.
You can always go south of the high rise and look.
When someone says, well, man, you're going to start blocking views, I said, well, the only view I know it's going to block is mine, which I will happily have blocked. So you can take it. You can take it if it meant more tax revenue for us to, have more public safety and more housing, So. I think it's exactly what you said. It's more of the traditionalist. I mean, some parallels with charging for parking on our busiest iconic street that everybody wants to park on. It's these growing pains that what a great position that we're in, that we actually can consider towers. Imagine us having this conversation 20 years ago, being like, man, where should we put a tower that's 12 stories that someone wants to invest here without any tax abatement directly from the city, So these are things that, what I say on your radio show all the time, change causes anxiety. It just does. And we understand that. But I think for the greater good, to get more housing units and remember, this was our investment. This is what the promise was many years ago, right, when the money was bonded for this project.
You can't be upset that nothing gets built there and then get upset that something gets built there at the same time. It's kind of a catch-22. Hey, just a small note, but I guess we're anticipating kind of a cool announcement later today involving FSU and Auburn.
Yeah, actually, I think the announcement's coming shortly from Florida State. Back in my sports writing days, I'm an FSU alum. I always hoped that they could play a baseball game here with that beautiful stadium. And I think we've got a fall ball game in order. October 12th at noon, FSU is going to play Auburn. And one cool snippet of that, not only to have FSU come over and play and Auburn come in, we have two huge fan bases here, but even more exciting is that it's the bye week for football for both of those on that Saturday in October. So, fan bases are worried about missing their football game. Won't have to worry about that on those two games. So huge credit to the Wahoos and Jonathan Griffith. And it's something that I'd started texting with Link Jarrett, the head coach, and some of the administration over at FSU, and we kind of handed that off, and Wahoo's got it done. So very, very exciting to have that come in October when the weather's nice and you don't have to worry about a conflicting football game either.
No, that's great. And the continued improvement of our ability to be a destination venue for SEC and other collegiate level sports is just, it's really a credit to this area, not just at Wahoo Stadium, but whether it's, up at the north end of the soccer complex, but all of this is really good news, I think. Hey, one just quick thing. I want to give you credit for, you said something in your press conference yesterday that really stuck with me is, so much of the time in politics, my council didn't make that decision, or I didn't make that decision, or my commission didn't make that decision. I appreciated your comment about how generating revenue streams, whether it's from a deal at Community Maritime Park or whether it's from the charging for the parking, which I know we've had long conversations about that, but okay.
Yep.
You're bequeathing to the future mayors, whether that's you or somebody else, eventually it'll be somebody else. You're bequeathing to them a kind of opportunity to use that money to do the things that right now you don't have the extra money to do. And that makes sense to me. Like, that's a thinking about not even your own administration, but thinking about, what future administrations will be able to do. So I just want to, give you a little bit of credit for that. I love that.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just, one thing news from yesterday was the Beulah Interchange has gotten funded, which we hoped and prayed for. And of course, that's not going to happen right away. But can you just maybe comment for a second on what you think that's going to mean for the Pensacola area, and whether you think developing what looks for all the world like eventually is going to be the city of Beulah, how that benefits or competes with the city of Pensacola?
Yeah, look, I think we all know that everything around here in this area, you know, Pace, Milton, Gulf Breeze, you know, in some ways is kind of all one, maybe not from a taxing standpoint, maybe not from a government standpoint, but certainly going from 300 call center jobs when Navy Federal started to what they are today has had a positive benefit on the city of Pensacola in some way, even if that's indirect. So, you know, to make things easier, I mean, the reality is we talk to developers, we talk to you know, national chains, and there's a lot of interest, of course, up in that Davis 9 mile area because of all of the activity that's happening up there. So to make that easier and look, you know, to make the commute faster, you know, think about that. If you live in the city of Beulah that you're projecting to get down there faster and have less traffic, where you're more likely to come enjoy the city of Pensacola as the mayor of the city, I think that's a good thing too. So, you know, I mean, in a way, we don't act it in terms of government, but we really are all kind of one team in terms of wanting all of these things to be successful, because I really do believe that, you know, it lifts all boats for sure for us to all have the amenities and have the things that we need to be to have good quality of life.
Yeah, and with all the growth going on in that area, whether it ever incorporates or not, right, just simply the fact that people who live, you know, north and west of there will now be able to hop on the interstate and in 5-10 at most minutes be in downtown Pensacola,
right, exactly,
is good for, you know, where people can live in the city, and then where they can live and then work in the city, then where they can enjoy the city's amenities. I mean, all of that interconnectivity stuff is a benefit to the entire area. Just a last real quick thing. I know where the Bearcat is on order. You mentioned that it has been hangups and hiccups with the production, which is kind of everything during and post COVID. But, you know, the look, the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, their Bearcat took several shots to the windows. I was actually showing that to some guys driving one up here in Milwaukee yesterday, and they're like, man, yeah, these things are matter. That highlights the need for PPD to have not the old, you know, plumber's van that they've got now, right?
That's correct. And yeah, and remember, we were delayed a little bit because, you know, the government said, hey, we need their resources right now, the manufacturer. So it is in production. We know that. And August at the earliest, probably September, we send our crew up to Massachusetts, check it out, give it the thumbs up, and then we should have it somewhere in that September or October timeframe. So yeah, same with you. It's like that just reminded me what the value is. And imagine if that was us, and imagine if that was in, as you said, the plumber van, you know, is that would the outcome have been the same?
Right.
You know, and so that's, it's just yet another reminder of why we need to, you know, with some respect, you know, send our officers who put their life on the line every day in with the best chance to be successful.
Absolutely. You know, we're all very eager to see that happen, especially once we learned what the current SWAT vehicle looks like. We always like to end with the mayor with a little bit of a lightning round. Quick questions for you. When you are working, do you prefer to have silence, music, news? If music, what kind of music?
No preference. I can live with all of them. I just never remember my AirPods in the office. So maybe if I did, I'd listen to more music. But no, I'd say either silence or, you know, some background TV maybe.
Gotcha. Do you write checks for any reason? When was the last time and for what?
God, no, it is rare because I have to go, you know, the file you keep like all your insurance documents in, that's like where I keep my checkbook. I'm not kidding. Like that is like, I have to go find it. It's not even like available in the junk drawer, you know? Man, it would have been something tax or insurance related that would have required a paper check. I honestly can't even remember. I guess that proves the point.
When it's in your car, or if you know, in your purse if you're a woman, that's one thing. When it's in the desk junk drawer, that's another thing. When it's all the way in the manila folder in the back of the top drawer of the file cabinet,
right,
you
right.
know how often
it's
you
the
write
emergency
checks.
Folder. It's the emergency.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And the last one, bagel and cream cheese. What mm-hmm. is the right way to eat that, particularly toasted, untoasted, and open face or sandwich style?
Toasted and definitely open face. It can't be, there can't be too much. It can't be the big glob of cream cheese like you get in New York or anything like that. Can't do it. It's got to be, remember back to peanut butter and jelly, just like a thin uniform layer.
I see.
You know, across.
All the way to the edge, no past the edge for
that's
you,
correct.
No squeeging out the middle or the outside.
That's correct. That's correct.
I got it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We'll look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. And then, of course, we'll talk again next week. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.